Welcome back to the Starting Lineup Podcast. It is Thursday, September 14th at 2:15 Central Time. This is Shep Jones back with Mitch George. Another jam-packed show today.
Yep, that is indeed what we have.
We're going to do a little bit of MLB recap, talking about the Cleveland Indians streak, the ongoing court cases with Ezekiel Elliott that I kind of touched on, that kind of teased at the end of last on Monday's show. Do a little bit of week two pick'ems, and anything else that comes up, because the NFL is hoping that the Ezekiel Elliott reversal of his suspension block will get done today. If it happens, it happens during the show. We're gonna hit it.
I will give you this quarterback. Quarterback. I'll give you this quarterback to you if that actually happens during the show. Okay. If we get a notification about that during the show, I'll give you this quarterback. So if you listened last week, I bet Shep that it was the two Monday night games from this past week, the New Orleans Saints and Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Chargers and the Denver Broncos that played. And I bet Shep that the Vikings would win and that the Broncos would win. But Shep bet me that the Chargers would win and that the Saints would win.
I was wrong.
I was completely 100% right, so he gave me a nice little quarter today.
Man of my word.
Yeah, we bet a quarter on it, so he gave me a quarter today. Yeah. So that was very nice that he lived up to his word.
I hope it takes you a long way.
Oh, yeah. So long.
All right, so we are in the midst of, if the Indians win tonight, they have set the new win streak record, topping the, currently tied with the 35 Cubs at 21.
The Cubs did it twice. Didn't they have a 21 win streak twice in their programs? Or not programs?
Yeah, but the most recent was 35.
Yeah.
So it might have been really early on when teams were stacked.
1908.
Yeah, well, hey. We've won the World Series since then.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll do a little bit of standing recap here, especially with wild card. Same. It looks just about the same with the teams underneath, the Yankees and the Twins moving back a little bit. The Angels were a game behind, and now they're two. Mm-hmm. And everyone else has shifted back a game. Is it more so that the Twins are consistently winning? Who you were saying that they were under 500 for a home record on Monday, and now they're sitting at 500 for a home record. Is it the Twins continually winning games, or is it the other, you know, the Angels, the Mariners, the Rangers, the Royals, and the Orioles, and the Rays losing games?
I mean, the easy answer is that it's a combination of both, like it is. But it also helps that the Twins played two games with the San Diego Padres at home. They were very, very different games, because one night the Twins set the MLB record for consecutive innings with a home run. I don't know if you saw that. But innings 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, the Twins had a home run.
Was that the 11-0 game out of the 7th?
16-0 was the final score.
Boy. So,
but, yeah, it was pretty amazing because Kyle Gibson pitched a shutout for the portion of the game that he was in. I think he pitched about 6 innings, which was pretty remarkable.
You know, when you're ahead by that much, you pull your starters.
Right. But he still put in a solid outing, albeit it was against the Padres, who are not as bad of a team as people thought they would be coming into the season, but they're definitely not a playoff contender at this point. But then the next day, which was yesterday, Twins played the Padres again because it's a little two-game home-and-home interleague series that they played throughout this year. And it went into extra innings, tied at 1.
Wow.
So that's how different the game was. And Eddie Rosario ended up hitting a walk-off moonshot last night. So.
Well, and with this Padres series, the Royals, I have a +8 run differential now.
The Royals?
Or the Twins, sorry.
Yeah.
The Twins have a +8, which, hey, they're positive.
Yeah, I mean.
Because I know when we first started looking at it, almost every team was sitting in the negative with the exception of the Rangers and the Yankees.
Yeah, that game we played against the Royals were the game the Minnesota Twins played against the Kansas City Royals. that boosted our run differential, the Minnesota Twins run differential, tremendously with that 17-0 game. I think that put it either at zero or it was at plus one. We did the Twins did all. I'm struggling over here. The Twins did all that work in one game, so that was cool to see. But it there haven't been any teams that have taken that spot from the Twins solely. I think there, like, I shouldn't say that because there was one night where the Twins lost and it gave the Angels a half game lead on the Twins, but then the Angels ended up losing anyway, so at the end of the night it was just a tie for that second wild card spot. But so at the end of the day, when all of the teams have played their games, the Twins have held on to that spot for the last month.
Well, and I'll put it this way, the teams that are still in contention aren't doing anything to help their cause over a longer period of time. The Twins, the Angels, the Mariners, the Rangers, and the Royals are all 5-5 in their last 10. You're not going to make any movement sitting at 500 in a 10-game time span. You need to be sitting at, like the Yankees are, at 7-3. You need to be winning more than just breaking even through a 10-day game.
Or just rip off 21 in a row.
Or just rip off 21 in a row.
And that's one thing that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. Because with this streak, there are two very notable streaks. The Dodgers winning or losing streak, which they most recently ended, as well as the obvious 21-game winning streak that the Indians are on. And a man named Jonah Carey from CBSSports.com wrote, 21 means nothing. How Cleveland streak, Dodgers slump translate into the MLB playoffs. So what he was arguing is that it basically means nothing, and how when you enter the playoffs, it's a clean slate. I would disagree with that.
I would also disagree with that because there's such a thing as a team being hot.
Right.
And you want to be going into the playoffs as a hot team.
Because what he's basically arguing is that you have to look at everyone in the playoffs by their playoff record, which is 0-0 at 500 or non-existent. And I just don't think that, because you have to look before that. You have to say, like, so let's see, going into the playoffs, would I rather have a team that had a 21-game winning streak, 21-plus game winning streak heading into the playoffs, or would I rather have a team that most people thought was the best team in the MLB, but they lost 11 in a row just before the playoffs started.
Right.
And I don't think there's much argument that you'd take the 21 game.
And I get his argument, but it, in my mind, doesn't stick. You can't start judging playoff teams until the second round. For that first round, including wild card, you can look at who's coming in hot. But who knows what could happen in that first series of playoff games. Maybe Cleveland loses.
Right.
Maybe the Twins sweep. That's a little far-fetched. Take the Indians in five and beat the Indians. And who knows? I mean, I get where he's coming from. But for that first series of playoff games, you have to look at who's coming in hot.
Right. And I think a lot of that has to do with starting pitching as well. As far as... Because so much of winning streaks is starting pitching, because many times, even if you're a good starting pitcher, like I know Chris Sale has had a few games where he's given up like six runs in the first inning or have a bad outing just like that. And it just takes so much talent on a day-to-day and a game-to-game basis for your pitching staff to not have a bad start. I mean, obviously you're looking for a quality start every time you go out there, but it's just super impressive when no one has a bad start in that time frame. So if you look back at the last, let's say even week, the pitching has just been remarkable. So these are the runs that have been given up by Cleveland pitching since the month of September started. 3-0-0-2-2-0-2-1-4-3-1-0-2-2. Nothing has been over four runs since the month of September started. That is amazing.
Well, USA Today posted an article yesterday afternoon after the 21 was locked in. Seven stats for the 21-game win streak. 104 run differential. They've outscored opponents 139-35.
And I also read that their production on solely home runs would have beat their opponents as well, because they've hit 41 home runs in this streak and given up, 36, whatever you just said.
They've 35 total runs.
35, yeah.
Francisco Lindor leads that 41 home run total with 9. 6 total shutouts. 5 innings trailed out of the 189 for this win streak.
One of which was last night.
Mm-hmm. 19 wins from the starting rotation. Trevor Bauer, who last year during the playoffs looked kind of shaky. And now,
well, he cut his hand open.
Nah. But Bauer,
just gobs of blood dripping from his hand.
I mean, just red on the white pants. Bauer and Kluber have 4 wins apiece out of that 19, a 1.79 team ERA, and a 193-36 strikeout to walk ratio. They're not giving free passes out of the.
Does it have whip on there? Whip is the best pitching stat in my opinion.
It does not have whip on here, but I would assume that number is
below one.
Below one.
But yeah, I would argue that it might even be down in the 0.75 range, because they've just been mowing down the opposing batters.
Right, and let's see here. Carlos Carrasco, during 4 starts, has a 0.62 ERA with 34-1 and K to walk ratio. The from top to bottom, the rotation is nuts, because they're doing whatever they need to. And on top of that, I believe Danny Salazar's in the bullpen.
Is that right?
They moved him back and put Clevinger up in the...
Yeah, because Clevinger's in the starting rotation, so he's been fantastic, too.
And then Salazar didn't look great coming out of the gate this year.
Right, but the biggest thing for me, the thing that I was most excited about was looking forward to, okay, who are the Indians going to lose to next? Because you look at the rotation, you say, oh, Kluber's pitching tomorrow. They're not going to lose if Kluber's pitching. Then you look the next day, Carlos Carrasco's pitching. Oh, they're not going to lose if Carlos Carrasco's pitching. Oh, then Trevor Bauer's pitching. They're not going to lose if Trevor Bauer's pitching. Oh, Mike Clevinger's pitching. They're not going to lose if Mike Clevinger's pitching. And then their fifth starter is Josh Tomlin, where I could see them lose a game that he pitches. But it's just remarkable how hot. I keep going back to starting pitching, but I think that's the basis of all winning streaks is starting pitching, because like I said, you're just relying on people to not be terrible, which is hard to ask of sometimes.
I think I found the whip number.
Okay.
I believe it's 0.8. No, just for Kluber himself. No, correction. I'm reading this as I'm trying to figure it out. Mike Clevinger is a 0.89 whip during the 21 game win streak.
And he's the number 4 starter, might have you. So just throw that in there.
Well, they have him as the 3rd starter.
Okay, sorry.
Probably being Kluber, Carrasco, Clevinger, Bauer, Tomlin.
Yeah, so when you get to the playoffs, Josh Tomlin will shoo away.
Right. As I think anyone in their right mind, whether they're on a streak or not, kind of pushes Tomlin into the bullpen.
Yeah.
But if just Clevinger has a .89 whip, I have to assume that most
Kluber
of the other starters are either at that or below that number.
Right.
Can they continue it tonight? How far do you think they could make it? Because I know we were talking about they could lose the homestand against Detroit, and then we kind of backed off that one because now they're playing Kansas City at home.
At home, yeah.
And when I looked last time, they weren't starters named yet.
Yeah, I think they'll drop one in this Kansas City series. Because it's a 4-game series. I don't know that the Royals will get swept at home. I guess they're on the road. I guess I just don't see the Royals getting swept. I think the Indians will probably take 3, but I don't know. I would flip a coin in any time in the series, because sometime it's got to fall, and I would bet that it happens sometime within the first three games.
See,
of the
series. I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen today, because it's Tomlin against Junis.
Yeah,
Tomlin's
their
weak, right? Jake Junis is pretty good, and Tomlin's kind of their weak link, which is not a bad weak link in a starting rotation.
But at the same time, you got to look at it and say, okay, we have a bad starter on the mound tonight, but at the same time, our offense is capable of putting up seven or eight runs. So, I mean, and I think that might be part of it. Just, okay, our pitcher's pitching really well, so I guess we don't really necessarily have to go all out on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, so Junis and Tama tonight. It is Vargas and Bauer tomorrow. Hamill and Carrasco on Saturday.
They'll knock around Jason Hamill.
Yeah, he's 8-11 with a 4.91 ERA. And then it is to be determined and Kluber. I think this is the series for the Royals where it's like, we got to win at least. We got to split the series if we still want to contend. And if they've lost the first three, I got to think they're just going to be kind of plugging in pieces.
Yeah, and it's really now or never for the Royals, because they're sitting there at four games back. Even for Seattle, they're 3.5 games back. And what do we have, about 18 games left in the season? And 16. So something like that. And I don't know. It's if you're going to make a push, it's got to be now. Because four games doesn't sound like a lot in some cases, but when that is a quarter of your games that you're relying on the person in the top spot losing and you winning, you're not guaranteed to get either of those
right
any night, especially other teams losing, because that's entirely out of your control. And ideally, you'd be playing those other teams so you can make up that ground, just so you control your own destiny in some sense, even if you're behind. But it all starts now for those bottom five teams in the wild card race.
Out of the next 16 games for Cleveland, they've got four against the Royals, three at Anaheim, who I will always call the Angels Anaheim, because they're the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. No, it's in my mind, it's Anaheim.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Have you ever heard the saying that the phrase the Los Angeles Angels is repetitive? It's exactly the same. So if you translate everything into English, it's the angels. And if you translate it in Spanish, it's los angeles.
Good lord.
So someone thought that through.
So four at home versus the Royals, a day off, three at los angeles. Three at Seattle, a day off for travel, and then they finish with six games at home, three being against the Twins, and the final three against the White Sox. Out of those 16 games, how many do you think they can win?
I think they'll go 10 out of 16 or 11 out of 16.
I'm going 14-2.
You're crazy.
I just think that they're the starting rotation.
So you think that they're going to be
essentially, I'm
35-2 in the last 37 games? No way.
Because if you kind of put it this way, you've got Tomlin throwing tonight. He's your kind of shaky part, but it's also the Royals. Royals aren't really the Royals they have been over the last 3 years. So he pitches the 14th, and then he would have, ideally speaking, either the 20th or the 21st against the Angels. And then from there, it's the Twins, and he should finish off the year against the White Sox. That's saying that he would lose one game or two games, because I think the other four, being Kluber, Carrasco, Clevinger, and Bauer, are just going to keep pitching their lights out.
See, the combination of Corey Kluber, Mike Clevinger, and Carlos Carrasco, we assume, is going to get nine more starts as a unit the rest of the year. And I think it's unreasonable to say that they won't falter. And I shouldn't say falter, but I don't think that unit's going to go 9-0 among that stretch of time.
I just think the weak link is Tomlin, and he has four starts until the end of the year. ideally speaking, he loses two of those games. Because he gets the White Sox, which is a surefire win, unless you want to just put someone else in to close out the year, rest all your star players, give them the extra break because you still have the wild card game to happen, and then you find out who you're going to be playing, whether it be the Yankees or the Twins, mm-hmm. which I know that, like, the All-Star break, everyone was thinking, oh, Astros are going to take that number one seed in the AL. Not so fast.
Not looking like it anymore.
The Indians have come out of third overall and jumped right up into first.
Yeah. Well, that was some solid Indians talk.
Yeah.
You want to move on to some football?
Let's do it.
Take her away.
All right. So, this I'm looking at point spread and predictions.
Okay. Are you having me guess? You want me to guess the point spread?
I'll give you the over-under and point spread. And okay. I want you to figure out who the under is. All right, who's
going to win?
Who is over or under? You've got Houston at Cincinnati.
Okay.
You have a six-point favorite to who?
Houston.
Yes. And 38-point spread, over or under?
I would say that it'll be over 38.
I'm going to take under.
I'll take the over. Andy Dalton won't throw four interceptions again.
Yeah, that was a hiccup game there.
Yeah, pretty big hiccup.
The Thursday night football game tonight, which could be a little interesting.
I'll bet the quarterback on that. I'll take the over.
I'll take the under because I think I got to give credit to the Cincinnati defense.
I'd lost the quarter.
Oh, no. What have you done?
Oh, my goodness.
We'll find it later. It's probably on the ground somewhere. God. Unless you pocketed it. Let's see. New England at New Orleans. 6.5 favorite.
Patriots will cover that.
Yeah. And then it's a 35.5 point spread.
Over.
Yes. I definitely agree. Yeah. Because it's going to, that would be an offensive shootout.
I might go bet on that one after this, actually.
Let's see here. Chicago at Tampa Bay. It's a negative 7.
Tampa Bay.
It's actually to Chicago.
No way.
And then 44 is the point spread.
Under.
Yes, I will agree with you. And then that's the first thing. It's the first thing that they talk about is on Bleacher Report. Is the Chicago Bears at Tampa Bay.
I think Jameis goes for 3 touchdowns in that game.
One game against the Bears. They're talking about Jameis here. Chicago had a chance to come away with an upset during week 1 against with former Buck Mike Glennon. Despite the loss of the Falcons, Chicago played better than expected and should improve in week 2.
Should.
It says the Bears should not win the game, but they will cover the 7-point spread. So they're saying it's going to be a close game by, like, a field goal, which I can agree with.
I can see it.
Chicago will cover the 7-point spread.
Jameis is also capable of putting up 40 points all by himself, though.
I want to see an entire game of Jameis Winston, DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, and then when Doug Martin comes back, I want to see what that offense looks like, all the pieces there and together.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be entertaining to watch nonetheless. Let's see here. Is there any terrible games this week?
So the Jets are going to get steamrolled by the Raiders.
Arizona will steamroll the Colts.
There aren't any terrible games.
No. If it was like Colts and Jets, then that might be hard to figure out who.
I mean, the Jaguars and Titans play, but those
Titans are going to steamroll Jaguars.
That's an interesting game.
Titans will. I'll give Marcus Mariota credit. He actually looked pretty good this past Sunday.
I don't know. I feel like every single one of these games has a star player in it because you have Odell Beckham Jr. with the Giants.
I mean, it's his first game of the regular year.
The Redskins-Rams is arguable that Kirk Cousins, I don't know. I don't know about that one, actually. Yeah, there might not be a star player there. Then, yeah. I feel like most of these games do. I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Browns will upset the Ravens this week.
Nope. I'm not.
What's the point spread on that one?
That is, it's an 8.
But for the Ravens?
It's, I assume. So it's essentially that, yes, it's for the Ravens, but Bleacher Report has Cleveland covering the 8-point spread but losing.
I think Cleveland
and
wins.
And it's a 39 spread.
Okay.
I'm taking under and Baltimore to put them in the ground.
No. The Browns are going to –
the Baltimore defense, in my opinion, is a lot better than the Steeler defense.
It's true. I don't know. We'll see what Kaiser does.
The safeties and –
assuming he doesn't roll his ankle on the way into the facility.
Well, that'd be another issue for the Browns to deal with.
Who's the backup quarterback in Cleveland now?
Not Brock Osweiler. Cody Kessler would be the backup quarterback.
So he's got some starting experience.
And I thought that he should have gotten the chance to start the year. He put in a lot of work last year. And granted, he kept getting concussed because his offensive line last year was not great.
Do you know who the starting fullback is for the Browns? I'm on ESPN, and it said D. Vitale, like the letter D and then Vitale.
Dan Vitale played tight end at Northwestern, so I know exactly who that is.
I was thinking, whoa, Dick
Vitale.
Vitale.
Yeah. Wrong sport, and definitely a lot younger.
That would have been something. If Dick Vitale. I would love to see Dick Vitale lining up at fullback in a Browns uniform. That'd be amazing.
So what games are you looking at in particular to watch this week?
I would be interested to watch the Packers and Falcons.
Mm-hmm. And that, I believe, is Sunday Night Football.
Yep, that is Sunday Night Football. Other than that, I think the Patriots and Saints, that'll be a absolute shootout. Obviously, the Vikings and the Steelers, I think that'll be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
But really, those three, I think, are the biggest games.
Dallas and Denver is the one I'm going to be watching. And speaking of Dallas... Ezekiel, he got 2 weeks ago, got the pardon or the block of any NFL suspension headed his way, and now the NFL is shooting back, asking the same judge who gave the ruling to Ezekiel to overturn his original ruling. I'm like,
that's not how this works.
Why would you? The NFL wants some sort of judgment by today or first thing Friday morning. It's not going to change. You're asking the judge who already said, yeah, you can play, they're doing this wrong, to say, oh, I messed up, you can't play, you're now suspended, or not necessarily not suspended, but you can't block any suspensions, which then Roger Goodell would immediately say, you're going on the commissioner's list, which then you can't play, and you can't appeal that. So...
I think there's a 100% chance that it doesn't get turned over.
Oh, I'm right there with you. You would think that you would try to get a different judge to overrule that instead of asking the same judge. Ruled in your defendant's way.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation.
So I'm sure by Monday something else will come up from it because it's a ever-evolving issue going on between the NFL and really the NFL and its players. With the Tom Brady thing last year and this the Ezekiel thing is starting to look like.
Seems like every year there's some sort of a suspension squabble between one party or another.
Yeah. I just think that the NFLPA is usually really good about backing its players, and Tom Brady has set the precedent. So.
Yeah. It's true.
On Monday, we will take a look at week 2. Talk about the Monday night game, which is Detroit at New York.
Mm-hmm.
Any developments in the Zeke Elliott case and baseball. Which we love to do.
Well, by that point, there's going to be around 1 week left in the MLB season. That's crazy, isn't it?
Just about, yeah. Yeah. And by the time we do the show in 2 weeks on a Monday, the regular season will be done.
Oh.
I know, we're getting close.
I'm not ready. I'm ready for postseason, but I'm not ready to not have baseball.
Hey, you'll get some Twin baseball. You'll get Twin postseason baseball. It'll happen.
Don't say that yet.
We're going to jinx it. That will do it for the show today. We will be back at noon on Monday, or
12:15.
Sometime around noon on Monday.
It doesn't even matter to them. They get it whenever they want it.
Yeah. I mean, I post it usually the day of, but it will be there.
All right. Bye.
Bye.